Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is literally just what's in my show prep folder. I didn't even plan it this way. But Zach Abraham's going to join us, and he'll help us figure this all out. Item one. Walmart CEO warns that the retail giant could hike prices or shut down some stores if historically high thefts at the chain continue and prosecutors' lax approach to dealing with criminals is not corrected. Okay, that's purposeful. Letting criminals run wild is purposeful. It's one of the things you do when you're attempting to install a cultural revolution, which is what they're doing to us. It's purposeful. The same time as that's going on, this isn't in show prep, it's just from memory. Pritzker, the brother of the man who pretends to be a woman at the Human Rights, Human Rights Commission? Human Rights Campaign. They're the group of perverse billionaires who have been pushing the trans agenda on little kids. So the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, wants to do away with cash bail. Purposeful. Back to the show prep page. This conviction of President Trump's business. You want to know the maximum penalty he's going to have to pay? $1.62 million. Want to know what this is for? Bonuses that they decided should have been taxed. Has anyone looked at Washington, D.C.? Bonuses that should be taxed? Have you ever seen the congressional gym that they don't pay for? Have you ever seen their parking that they get at our airports that they don't pay for? Has anyone ever seen the dinners they get invited to, the boards they sit on, the insider trading in which they engage? Joe Biden's multiple houses, Bernie Sanders' multiple houses, Nancy Pelosi's wealth? Item four, or three, I've forgotten, from the National Post. Auditor General finds a minimum of $27.4 billion in suspicious COVID benefit payments. Okay, that's from Canada. It's global. We have the same issue here, but probably more money. When you do not force businesses to prove they exist, funny thing, you end up with things like that. You're setting up a circumstance for fraud, where fraud is almost inevitable. This is from the House Foreign Affairs Committee with a resolution Marjorie Taylor Greene has offered to audit the tax dollars Americans have sent to Ukraine thus far. And this is the debate.
This is about reaffirming our support to the Ukrainian people and their struggle against authoritarianism, their struggle for the simple right to determine their own destiny. And they're sacrificing their lives for it. The least they can expect from us is that we will help them in that effort. We won't fight the fight for them, but we will make sure they have the resources they need to win that valiant fight. So, Mr. Chairman, I join you in opposing
transparency. I join you in auditing the billions and hundreds of billions of dollars, and I think it will reach a trillion, that this sent to Ukraine. Incidentally, no word on when they're going to stand with the people of China against the Chinese Communist Party. But it's all just accidental. Now, that's just in my show prep folder. We'll see what Zach Abraham shares with us about the finances of the country and our personal finances as he joins us with the help of Soda Weight Loss at SodaWeightLoss.com.
The Todd Herman Show is 100% disapproved by big pharma, technocrats, and tyrants everywhere. Now, from the high mountains of free America, Here's the Emerald City Exile, Todd Herman.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. And when the Lord made this day, he reminded us, I believe it's through the Apostle Paul, that when he made this day, it's an opportunity for us to rejoice. And again, Paul reminds us to rejoice. We do have choice. We get to have shows like this. And despite their best efforts, they have not been able to shut down the Word of God. They never will shut it down. It never will go away. I haven't even been able to shut down little old us. And thank the Lord for that. My brother Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer, Bulwark Capital Management, joins us. Zach, welcome back to the Todd Herman Show.
Hey, thank you so much. Great to be here as always, and always look forward to it.
It's wonderful to have you. And I know, look, I got to tell you, Zach gave me a heads up on something he's going to share with us today. And it's a bit of a mind-blowing theory. I didn't expect to hear this from him. But I wanted to get through some of the things, Zach, that I talked about at the top of the show. The big one for me is we're continuing to see this contrast of who gets to do whatever they want and who doesn't. And I'll start here because it's news cycle stuff. You know, President Trump's business, one of them, was convicted of tax fraud for not reporting things as income or as bonuses. But the biggest fine they can pay is $1.62 million, which for organizations that size, it's rounding error stuff. Meanwhile, Sam Bankman-Fried, Maxine Waters, says she doesn't intend to subpoena him. She has her private parking spots at all the airports. They don't pay for that privilege. That's not a benefit. They've got a free gym they attend if they want to. That's not a benefit. They've got the congressional meals that they get at a stipend level. That's not a benefit. They've got the travel, all of this. And that's not reported to the IRS as benefits. And I look at that and say, how common is it that there are things in great big businesses that are not reported as bonuses? Maybe should be. And I'm not saying you should cheat on your taxes, but honestly, how common is it in a great big enterprise that someone forgets a golf trip or something like this as a benefit?
Well, I haven't looked into this situation intensely just because I've got enough on my own plate right now to deal with markets and stuff like this. But I did read some summaries of it. And without having dug into it deeply, what it appeared to me, and this just comes from me running my firm.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, there are similarities because it's a real estate firm, but it's subject by a lot of the same rules that I am. It looked weak to say the least, meaning one of the things that they got them for was, illegally having people listed as contractors that should have been employees. Well, the nature of that law is extraordinarily subjective, meaning every employee here at Bulwark fully legally is a contractor. We don't have a single employee. Me and my wife are the only employees, and we do that for reasons. And it's not one is better than the other. It's a yin and yang thing, right? It's not like, oh, if we have them all contractors, we've got it made. If you're a contractor, you're not getting the same level of benefits or anywhere close to it that you would as a full-time employee. You're also not protected by some of the same working laws So I was reading through it and I didn't dig into the details, so I can't speak on it, but I think the fines kind of tell the story, the amount, right? If you read it, tax fraud and all this kind of stuff, and you're like, whoa, this probably happens at larger companies every single year.
Oh yeah.
And that's the other thing is the tax law has gotten so big that we are all in violation of something at all the time.
Exactly.
Right? There's no way you can't be. And then there's big parts of it that are just really subjective.
Right.
And I don't think people really understand about the tax law. Like, there's things I've had this conversation with our CPA 100 times. He's like, well, what can I do? And he goes, that's kind of up in the air. Here's how we generally handle
it. But that's the point. We always talk about, I don't always, but I love Mark Stein's quote that tyrannies are always capricious. the people in government love the looseness of that because they can construe it. If it's a friend, Sam Bankman-Fried, oh, young kid made a mistake. Tousled hair, probably just a little too much partying. Yeah, plus look at his heart. I mean, he was funding all the good causes. But Donald Trump is orange and a literal Nazi. Nazi. He is the Nazi party. And so they treat it that way. You know, big companies, like when I worked at Microsoft, I think it was an orange badge was the contractor. There were two non-employee things. A blue badge was an employee, unless you were at Xbox, it was purple badge. And then an orange badge and a green badge. So, they do this dance where like every 9 months, you need to take the 3 months off. Oh, because now you're not an employee, right? So
right.
They'll try to live within that. But let me get to news item numbers because I want to make sure we spend a lot of time with your theory. The Democrats are against auditing the money that we're sending to Ukraine. And this comes in a news cycle last week where we learned that the Pentagon can't seem to locate $2 trillion bucks. In
I
know it's just $2 trillion where it went. If you had a someone on your team and you came and said, "Hey, you know, one of our customers is missing, you know, it's $1 million account. They're missing $1 million. Where'd that go?" Your employee looks at you and goes, "You know, I don't know."
Trade error.
Yeah.
You know, trading
whoops.
Error.
$2 trillion, and I look at these comparisons, Zach, and they legitimately are fighting auditing the money that goes to Ukraine. And find me how you look at that charitably. They're saying, "Oh, it seems like a simple process, but you know they're fighting a war, etc." But I'm sorry, money goes out. It's supposed to purchase certain things. I know that we have boots on the ground counting those things, and we don't talk a lot about that. But how do you look at that charitably?
Again, I'm not a CPA, but yeah. The process, especially when you're dealing with two sovereign governments, should be extraordinarily simple and straightforward. Meaning the money was wired from this account at the Treasury in this amount. It was received at this end at this amount. Bingo, bango. Now, what I haven't even read about this. What are they object? What are the grounds that they're saying they're objecting to the audit for?
The grounds are that the Ukrainian people are fighting for their lives.
So an audit makes sure that all of those dollars get to that
right.
end.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't go.
What you're essentially, you're auditing it to make sure that all the money was getting to where it was supposed to go. Where if it all went to where it was supposed to go and you're dyed in the wool and you got the Ukrainian flag on your Twitter
right.
handle and all that kind of stuff, you should want the audit to make sure all the money got to the Ukrainian people.
Right. And that would be a great way to say it. I should have thought of that. That would be a great way to say it. Go ahead.
Oh, no, this kind of harkens back to the whole crypto thing. And look, maybe there's an exception to the rule, but it is such a concrete thing. And I know you know this and regarding politics, but just rule of thumb, guys, if 100% of the time you hear somebody pushing back against an audit and you immediately short or get out of that asset, 99% of the time, that's going to be the right decision. Okay. There's not a good reason to not want to not. When you're ducking an audit, there's a reason, period. Otherwise, you would sit there and say, yes, come prove to everybody that I am acting exactly the way that I say that I am and that I'm not misappropriating funds and I can get outside that cloud of doubt. Which does no good to the Ukrainian people, the war effort, anything like that. It really is that simple. If I hear anybody pushing back against an audit of any kind in any kind of investment that I own, I am selling it immediately on those grounds alone.
Oh, yeah, and no, I support that obviously entirely. And I would boil it down just to a personal. Let's just take it down from complicated and you could, you know, say, oh, it's very hard. It's not, but let's just take it down to a personal basis. Your wife comes into let's say you're late at night, you're in front of your computer and your wife walks in the room and you close the monitor. Hey, babe. Hey, what's going on?
Just doing my Bible study, yeah. Honey.
What were you looking at? Nothing.
Our daily bread.
Right. And I've been really open that I gave up. The last time I looked at pornography was, 22, 23 years ago. And
good for you, man.
Yeah, I had a really good had a really good way of just cementing that, which was understanding that you might be looking at a sex trafficked person. You might be looking at at someone being raped. And that was it for me. Thank God, Lord brought that to me. But you just bring it down to this personal level of, okay, so you don't want us to know where our money's going. And last thing, I want to get into your theory. There's a couple things that are beginning to bubble up and the effects of the culture war. And I'm not expecting great things from the Republicans. I'm sorry. I am very cynical. They've, you know, now they have the Democrats have a clear majority in the Senate. And yet there's these good sound bites. This is Senator Tom Cotton, Kroger CEO, which, you know, is a very woke company, pronouns, et cetera, ad nauseum. He is expecting Republicans to kind of come and help them with some stuff.
But this situation reminds me a little bit of the situation big tech companies have found themselves in recent years.
Were you asking me that?
They've come to Washington.
Oh, can you hear this?
I don't hear the audio.
Oh, shoot. So you couldn't hear that. Well, this is Tom Cotton, who is talking to the Kroger CEO. And they're talking about all of the thefts and all of the problems in organized theft gang coming in. And Tom Cotton's response is, hey, I'm sorry. Sorry that's happening to you. You know, you guys voted for this stuff. That sucks for you. No, so, hey, sorry that's happening to you. Nothing we can do. You voted for this.
And as Barack Obama said, elections have consequences.
Right. And right? Then there's this one, which I think is more serious. Not that Kroger's not, but Walmart is saying that they're going to have to shut down entire stores or raise, you know, hike prices big time. And that's their bread and butter is, you know, quite frankly, some real garbage products at low prices, some good products at low prices too. I actually, the Walmart I used to go to here before they played the mask game, I actually thought their consumer electronics place was actually pretty good. But if that happened and they started to shut these stores down, the way I do the math, that means higher prices in neighborhoods where we hear about food ghettos, et cetera. And how could they not? Because Zach, I don't know. Have you seen the Apple store footage where Apple employees are trained when someone comes in and they start doing smash and grab? Do you know what the responsibility of the Apple store employees appears to be?
Just get out of the way.
No, hold customers back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just so everybody clear out. Everybody just let them do. Let them take what they want. Nobody stop. Don't get in the way. Just let it go. So what does that look like if this is continuing to happen in society and the purposeful decision to let criminals run wild? Can retail support this? I mean, this is major leakage at this point.
Yeah. And one of the other problems is that, you know, again, telling you nothing you don't know, but margins in retail are really skinny.
Yeah.
Right. And so you start getting hit on the edges like that. And it really now, and think about what they're dealing with, right? They're dealing with a slowdown in consumer spending that's already starting to present itself.
Yeah.
They're dealing with higher interest rates, which is impacting the consumer. And as those things pick up, I would expect the smash and grab, the theft is going to just keep going, right? It's going to go up until the laws and the law enforcement officers in these areas change. So, you know, we've seen it around this area, you know, Starbucks, which is really funny. You know, Starbucks, which has supported every single one of these causes, is shut down multiple locations downtown Seattle for the same reasons.
Yep.
You know, and these people are eating themselves. And like you said, it's too bad. This is what you voted for. These are the causes you supported. And it's the ultimate arc of this type of government all the time, which is let it run its course and it eats itself. And that's where we're at. And these companies cannot support this. And it will have a deleterious impact on everybody because they've got to hike prices across the board, right? To all their stores to make up for the ones they're getting hit, which impacts everybody negatively.
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole idea that we can do these things or make these legislative changes or ridiculous decisions in a vacuum and that it doesn't impact anybody. It's just, I keep using that term third grade diplomacy. Like it's like we got a class full of third graders making policy and then they wonder why it goes awry and you're going, well, geez, what were you thinking is going to happen?
One of the most popular before my accounts were attacked, probably by government, as we're learning, since the FBI had embedded itself at Twitter. And turns out that the thug attorney general in your state, Bob Ferguson, was apparently giving orders on who should have reach in social media and not. And gosh, I wonder if he came at me since he tried to get me fired and failed. I just wonder, since he hates my guns.
Did he lean on, you and I have never had that talk. Did Ferguson, did he individually lean on KTTH to unload you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. He sent a nasty letter, and then he said I was forced to apologize, and he, in his attack on me, stated blatant lies, and I proved them and emailed them to him, and he and I had a conversation on email. I said, "Here you go. Here's the proof that you lied. Are you going to apologize?" And he said, "I don't apologize to people like you," something like that. And but he I mean, you know that he legitimately tried to get, we're talking about the thug attorney general in the separate country of Washington. He legitimately tried to get our friend Dory Monson fired. Right. And but my point about all this was,
I got to play a fun role in that whole episode.
I know. We'll talk about the whole thing. There was one of the most popular videos I ever made was a very simple video. It was my wife and I out at dinner. And it was at our beloved pizza place down at our house up north, near our house up north. And I said, "We're eating pizza. We're sitting here. Look at the beautiful view. There's no one here that's masked. Maybe there's one person, I think, come in. No one cares. We are 10 minutes from the Washington state border. 10 minutes. You can't do this over there." And it made this, and it was a stupid little video that my wife actually filmed. I was just talking. It was, I don't know, 3 minutes long, and it got like 200,000 views in like an hour. And I will apply this to you because we're talking about Walmart and all this theft. If you would be shocked. I was at a Walmart in a place called Hayden, Idaho, and someone tried to steal some stuff out of the electronics area and went walking out, got to the front of the store, and there are five citizens standing there going, "Nope. Nope." And Zach, that's not the big difference. Within a minute, three cop cars pull up. And that's it.
Yeah, that ain't going to fly in Idaho.
No, but it's just, and someone said, actually, while they were arresting the guy, someone said, "Dude, why didn't you go to Washington State? They don't arrest people there." And you see the look on the criminal's face, and he wanted to fly like with the F-bomb at the guy, but he looked at him, he's like, and he had this realization, he's like, "Oh, garbage, that's right. I'm like a half hour from the criminal paradise." All right, we'll come back. We'll talk the Zach Abraham's theory about if we want our government to start acting responsibly, it has something to do with our currency. And I'll introduce that that topic and Zach's theory on this by asking Zach about a group that beat the market. Zach, they beat the market. And they, in fact, invested $290 million in equities in 2021, and they beat the market. So weird that they did that. So we'll talk about that with Zach Abraham. Incidentally, I've been telling people with this year ends, it is going to get, look at the things we just talked about today, Zach and I. It's going to get nuts and even more chaotic. So you have now just a couple of weeks to get set to make sure your portfolio is going to withstand the chaos economy. I mean, you want to know that, right? And Zach's firm is predicated upon risk management. Because look, I don't care how fast your jet boat is. You could have the fastest jet boat. You could have a dual jet boat on one of the big lakes up here. And if it has a hole in it, it's not that fast anymore, is it? And I don't care how strong the big muscles in your body are. If you got a little tiny tear in like an MCL and you're squatting 500, you're going to break, right? And it's just compare this to retirement. With what's coming, like, does your retirement have a proper roof? Does it have a proper foundation? And by the way, even if you're retired, if you're 58 years of age or older, you can transfer your 401k to Bulwark Capital Management, and that's not a taxable event. So find out. Don't live with uncertainty. Call Bulwark Capital Management and have them look at your portfolio and analyze it for risk management and can it make it to the chaos economy. So easy to do. It's just a phone call. Call Zach and his team at 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Okay, here we go. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative. Tuck Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. I'm getting to be a pro at that, man. You know what I found out other guys do? You know what they do?
They actually have.
They speed it up.
Yeah, they do, but they also have it pre-recorded.
Yes, yes. So, and they add it in there. Nobody does a live read like that.
All right. So who do you think the group was that beat the market with their, what did I say, 290 million that they bought in 2021 alone? And they beat
Congress.
Boom.
Yep. Got it. Got it. And did it say how they did? I want to know if they outperformed me. Because I beat the market, not by a lot. Well, I beat it by 2%.
Actually, you aren't in the article, so I'll write a harshly worded letter. I'll write a harshly worded letter about that. But no, it's funny because some of their investments were really interestingly timed. And want to know one of the top guys, because he'd never be insider trading. Dan Crenshaw. No, because he wears an eye patch and he has rifles and he served the country in the military. So he couldn't have turned. There's a whole bunch of Republicans on this list. And it is a very, very, you know, it's slimy. It shows that they're timing this to investments. Incidentally, Crenshaw just bought a lot of tech. He bought the big three tech companies. So I wonder what that's going to mean. But yeah, that's the group. And you were saying, if we want our government to stop stepping on our throats so that we could breathe, you said we should do something with our currency. And this sort of blew my mind.
Yeah. So I think I've talked to you about this before. This has been a long road for me. Trying to get a deeper understanding of the way the financial system actually works. You know, we have this idea of investments go up and down, but I don't think enough people pay attention to the plumbing, right? Like, how does money move around? Because at the end of the day, people need to remember that regardless of what the asset or the asset class is, if more capital is flowing into that asset or investment or asset class or whatever the case may be, if more capital is flowing in than is going out, it doesn't matter what the actual value of that asset is. The price of it's going to go up, right? And so having to get to a point where you really understand the way money's moving around the world, the way money's moving into markets. And what spawned that for me was coming out of the financial crisis, watching quantitative easing, watching the $900 billion in bailouts, watching all these things. We actually did pretty well during the financial crisis. We're up about 20%. And then we went hard into precious metals and gold coming right out of it. And that was a boon until about the end of 2011. And lucky enough, we got out of there and sidestepped it, not because we understood how far it was going to drop, just because I just thought it was a good time to take a breather and maybe get back in a little later.
Yeah.
But it never recovered. Gold ended up going from 2,000 an ounce all the way down to 1050. The inflation never showed up. And so this spurned about a three-year deep dive, and I've continued it since, trying to understand, wait a second, how are they printing all this money? And we don't have inflation, right? We're getting our cake and eating it too. Like, how does this work? And what I quickly began to realize is that the dollar is not like every other currency. It is the world reserve currency. People are talking about, oh, one day we're going to have a one world currency. We're there, guys. We have a one world currency. It's called the US dollar. And one of the things, I don't know if you and I talked about this, but there's been an odd correlation between the rhetoric coming out of China, lockdowns, and the movement of the US dollar. If we look back just a month and a half ago, Xi Jinping was ramping up the rhetoric about Taiwan, right? He was getting more belligerent. The COVID lockdowns were intensifying. And just in the space of a month and a half, all of a sudden that settled down. Well, the dollar index also backed off from 116 down to 105. Right, which makes perfect sense to us. So what I think, and then also Biden and Xi had never spoken, and it was announced about 3 weeks ago they were meeting for the first time, right in the midst of the dollar easing. And I looked at that and I go, hey, call me crazy, but the move on the dollar index does not move like that. It's a 1% move on this index in a day is a big deal. It started dropping 1.5 to 2% daily moves all of a sudden. And there was nothing that happened that would warrant that, right? Like the dollar can go up and down. It's a market. It can do its own thing. But when you see the dollar getting kneecapped and none of the conditions around it that drove it that high are getting relaxed, it's just, I looked at it and, you know, you watch markets long enough and you sit there and go, that's odd. So there's something doesn't add up here. So then that, you know, and that kind of married up with something going into the financial crisis. The Federal Reserve had 8 swap lines set up with separate central banks.
Okay, good. I'm going to ask the swap line.
So what a swap line is one of those banks was the Bank of England, right? If the Bank of England was having an intense dollar shortage, okay, the only way for them to get more dollars is to go into the market, sell their pounds for dollars. The problem with that is it's a self-reinforcing cycle, right? The more dollars they need, the more pounds they have to sell, the more pounds sterling they have to sell, which pushes the price of the pound down even farther. And this is the same dynamic that existed back in the 80s when Druckenmiller and Soros broke the Bank of England, right?
Was that when Soros did he get in trouble for that? Was that the one where, because he was going around sinking world economies?
He didn't get in trouble for that one. His attack on the pound was legitimate. That was okay. And Druckenmiller was actually the one that architected that trade, who's, in my opinion, the most brilliant money manager of all time. He's since split with Soros because they have a lot of disagreements for probably similar reasons that you and I disagree with Soros.
Okay.
Because he's safe. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, Druckenmiller wouldn't say that, but yeah. Druckenmiller is not a control guy. He doesn't believe in authoritarianism and all that kind of stuff. So going into the financial crisis, so what the Fed's answer was, hey, you know, we've got to stop this from happening. So we're going to set up swap lines. So if the Brits need money, they can take gilts, which are their version of treasuries there. They can take U.S. treasuries. They can take pound sterling. They can put it up as collateral and they can borrow the dollars from the Fed. Therefore, they don't have to go into the open market, right? Okay, so it keeps them from having to get their currency pounded even harder. Okay, so now by the financial crisis, we had 8 swap lines set up with other countries. As of today, since the financial crisis, we have 30 swap lines set up with other countries. Now, I was digging in. I cannot confirm this, and nobody can because the Fed would never report it, and the Fed's not audited, so there's no way of knowing. But from some back channel people that I think are highly credible, that are in the know, that have contacts, the word on the street is that if you look back to 08, 09, the swap lines got hit to the tune of $9 trillion in 08, 09, right? And then over the next couple years, the Fed just forgave the loans. They just gave them $9 trillion. They didn't even make them. They didn't even collect the collateral.
Oh.
Okay. So now when you see what's been going on now, when I see the dollar getting kneecapped the way it was, I jokingly said on a show a few months back, you know, I like made that sniffing sound. I was like, man, I can smell the Fed burning up the swap lines from here. But when you watch that dollar index pull back, my theory is Biden's doing everything he can to hold this thing together until the next election season, right? And really, to get the global economy any footing, they got to get China back into the fold. Now, I don't think they really fully understand the financial pressure that China's under, but one of the biggest pressures they're under is the dollar. So if you go back and do this, anybody can do this. Go pull up a chart of the DXY, the dollar index, and follow the reports coming out of China and watch how the rhetoric and the lockdowns increase as the dollar index goes up. That makes perfect fundamental sense because as the dollar goes up, right, they can afford to purchase less and less commodities, less and less food. Well, we've all learned what's the best way to suppress commodity demand. It's COVID lockdowns, right?
Right.
So if you just unbiasedly look at the chart of the dollar and look, I'm not making any conclusions here. I'm just telling you what I see on the charts. And as it goes up, you can chart it with the rhetoric. Then it peaks. He's out there talking about Taiwan. He's ramping up that rhetoric. It's rallying the price of oil even harder. Dollar's going. Then all of a sudden, the dollar just starts getting kneecapped out of nowhere, breaks 110. It gets announced that Xi's going to meet with Biden, hits 105. They're relaxing the COVID lockdowns. I think we kneecapped our currency on purpose to try to get China back into the fold. And so this kind of set off I've been really thinking about this. And this goes along with my theory of the risk, everybody's got the risk as it relates to the dollar wrong. The risk to the dollar not being the world reserve currency is not the dollar falling in price. That is exactly what China wants. If the dollar got kneecapped by 40 to 50%, China, Russia, Brazil, the BRICS, you wouldn't hear any talk of getting off the dollar standard. There's no reason to. It's like a giant tax cut for the rest of the world. What will make the dollar not be the world reserve currency is when it goes parabolic.
What's that mean?
Right?
People need to understand parabolic.
When it shoots through the roof, right? And the reason, guys, that happens is because you need commodities. China has to have food. They have to have oil, right? They will buy them at whatever price they're at. You know, commodities have what we call massive price elasticity, meaning you can move the prices in very wide ranges and demand doesn't change, right? Because you got to turn on your car. You got to turn on your lights. You got to heat the house, right? Same with food. Food has massive price elasticity.
I would just make one exception. China doesn't care about killing mass numbers of peasants.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a form of political policy, right?
Right. So I just wanted to have that little caveat in place. But I want to get to what you're arguing here in a second. But I want to lay something else out there because I want you to say what you told me. I want you to come back from this partner announcement. I want you to drop it on the table and just let people just have the shock I did, if they're going to be shocked. But I want to tell you this. Did you read about Oxfordshire, England, and the trial run they're going to do beginning in 2023?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. They are going to be putting locked gates on neighborhoods. And you're going to have to ask permission to leave if the climate's at risk. It's called, I believe it's called the 2 Mile Project. They do not want you to go more than 2 miles from home. And they're going to go around and build gates around communities. And this is just, add this to the list of things that I was called the you-know-what for. I was a something theorist for saying that they were going to do this. But the World Economic Forum put out a video and they were showing the world, hey, look how nice it is that nobody could work. Kids can't go to school. Look how much better the world is without all you stinking vulgars. So, you know, you talk about dollar elasticity and you talk about this rhythm of China's lockdowns in the dollar world. They're getting ready to do this. The trial run is just with one community in England. But don't tell me your dictator over there, Jay Inslee, is not licking the blood off his chops on that one. Zach Abraham's with us. He's going to drop it on the table in just a second here. What he's saying is going to be good for us. We're going to have to take our medicine. I don't know if you know this, Zach, but you know, our mutual friend, Tim Cruikshank at Bone Frog Coffee, he has now done an incredible earth-shaking thing. Zen Frog is now decaf. And when Tim did this, he used the Swiss water process. Because ordinary decaf, the way they get the caffeine out of the coffee beans is a terrible chemical intensive process. And that's why that coffee often tastes so bad. So Tim has taken great care to take some of the best sourced beans from multiple countries in South America and the South, and to put this into this coffee so that it maintains that incredible taste with the Swiss water process. That's number one. Zen Frog is now decaf. Now, I get it. I don't drink decaf. I told Tim I'll try this just for the taste so I can be honest with you. But get this. Hey, Zach, do you know what a door kicker is in the military? Door kicker?
The first dude through.
Right. Right. Do you know what they call the area in which the door kicker stands before he kicks the door? What the SEALs call that?
No, what do they call that?
Cone of death.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So he has released right. And it makes sense, right? Because it could be an IED, it could be a bunch of people with guns, it could be, you know, whatever. And so he has launched the Door Kicker coffee brand, and it is actually in honor of those guys who go out and do that. And it's so funny. Tim's 25-year Navy veteran, Navy SEAL. Every now and then the SEAL comes out with him, comes out through him. And I said to him, I said, so that door kicker job, like, that sounds like tough duty. He goes, yeah, it's pretty hard. It's kind of, then he says, yeah, it's a rush. He goes, that's a real rush. He goes, those guys, it's tough duty, but it's a real rush. I'm like, Yeah, I can see the Rush part of it. So if you want to honor these guys, all the SEALs, right? It's bonefrog.us. It's a site Tim and I built together. Actually, we don't build anything. Our teams built it. That way, we all know that we're square up. Look, the suggestion is this. If you've had the coffee and you love it, just upgrade to a subscription. You save 5%. You never run out of coffee. And remember, 10% of proceeds go to help the families of fallen Navy SEALs. So you've got that. You've got God, country, team on the bags. If you haven't yet tried it, make this the season you try it. And man, you talk about a gift. You got friends who admire the military. Give them the door kicker, Brandon. Talk about the cone of death. It's bonefrog.us. Bonefrog.us. All right, Zach, just lay it out. What are you trying to say, my brother? What is it that you kind of want to see happen?
Okay, so if we want to rein in our own government and see a return to sound finance and adherence to budgets and restraint, if we want to suppress authoritarianism, we're all rooting for exactly the wrong thing. What we should be rooting for is the dollar no longer being the world reserve currency. And as crazy as that sounds, bear with me and I'll explain it as quickly and as succinctly as I can.
Okay.
When the reason we're able to print $7 trillion out of thin air, now it caused inflation, right? But nowhere near what it should. I mean, you printed 1/3 of the size of your economy in like a 3-month period of time. Right? I mean, that should be a death knell for a currency. The reason it's not is because every country on the face of the earth has to buy the dollar to continue international trade settlements, whether they like it or not.
There it is.
They have to. So that is what there gives our government the ability to talk about MMT. That's what gives them the ability to print $7 trillion and lock our entire economy down. That's what gives them the cover to do all this, because they're not out there competing against other currencies like everybody else is. If you're down, China hates us. They have to have massive amounts of dollars or they can't buy food and fuel. Japan has to have dollars. Europe has to have dollars. And so what the Fed is doing, and why I was explaining the swap lines, is they are, in my opinion, illegally giving money that belongs to the U.S. taxpayers. And they're justifying it by, if we don't hit these swap lines up, right? If we don't give these guys what they need, the dollar is going to go too high. It's going to break the world. And that will end us being the world reserve currency. Right. If the dollar causes a global depression, that will be the end of it as the world reserve currency. So they're not trying to support the value of the dollar. They're trying to suppress it. They're trying to hold it down. And as long as they have that ability, as long as they are not responsible on the fiscal side, as long as they can run $1 trillion, you're looking at current interest rates. The interest on our debt next year is going to be $1 trillion. Do you hear anybody worried about it? No, because they just print it. It's not going to impact the value of it. Right? Everybody still has to buy it.
So this is the college loan scandal thing, but it's multiplied by a trillion. The cost of college. Gosh, why does the cost of college continue to go up? Oh, I don't know. Because the government continues to guarantee that they're going to have cash flow, right? Why does the cost of healthcare go up? Oh, I don't know. Because the mobbed up insurance and pharma companies went and wrote Obamacare and said, pay us for things you're never, ever going to use in your life. And we'll charge you for the things you have to use. We'll find ways to not pay. Okay, so it is forcing people to purchase products they don't want at prices they can't afford. But in this case, for things they have to have.
Well, and one of the things that's baking guys like you and my brains, and probably the vast majority of your listeners' brains, is you're sitting there going, what these people are attempting to do is economic suicide. They have to know this. Not if you have a magic money printing machine that you can print literally money to no end and not have to worry about currency debasement.
Well, they've said, right? I've played the sound bits on the show. It was a Fed, one of the regional bank chairs saying, look, there's no shortage of cash. We have infinite cash. We have infinite cash. But Janet Yellen, you heard her at the beginning of the week. She figured out what causes inflation. Did you hear this?
Oh God, no, I didn't.
It's splurging. Yeah, it's American splurging. After the politically motivated, politically targeted lockdowns of school kids, churches, and gyms, and small businesses. So all the things that destroy life could do so much better. She's frustrated with people that they went out and started buying stuff. And she said, Americans need to stop splurging. That's how inflation has come about. It's just, and if you stinking peasants wouldn't go buy stuff, right? Isn't it remarkable?
Yeah, there'd be no problems. It's the folks' faults, right? It doesn't have anything. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact you threw around $7 trillion and made it rain like a rap star at a strip club.
Look, I don't. I wonder how many people. You know, you talk inflation, and sometimes I try to explain this as if you walk into a store and, or let's look, you know what it is? It's discount bin. Look, here's inflation. If you want to go buy Hillary Clinton's latest book, right? You go into a store, you walk straight to the discount bin and it's 93 cents. Plus they'll give you a back rub and they'll wash your feet for you, right?
Sure.
If you take the book off their hands. Or did you see this? The government is getting N95 masks finally distributed on a mass basis and they're putting them in stores, but they're saying, please only take three. Right. Oh, and they're doing this now. So this is inflation. This is like, well, I don't need those stinking masks. Right.
Yeah,
I don't need a Hillary Clinton book. And when obviously people want dollars and they need them, but when it's this widely available, why would you place any value on it? And don't tell me that China and England and these people don't know exactly what our Fed is doing. They know exactly what we're doing. And by the way, it's so counter. This is what drives me nuts about this. Every time we talk about this on any topic, everything they do is adverse to God. I can simply go to Deuteronomy, chapter 8, 17 and 18. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for he is who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And these guys are boom, conjuring digits. And I'll tell you, I really struggle with this because I don't want it to happen because everybody thinks they're prepared. But I'm here to tell you, very few people are really prepared for a collapse. And I pray it doesn't happen. But if this collapse came, one of the side effects of this would be the things God produces would once again be valuable, plus rednecks. Because everybody hates a redneck till the car breaks down, right?
And that's right.
Right? This is someone gave me a bumper sticker.
Or the fight starts, right? Or the fight starts.
Right. Everybody hates the redneck until the fist starts swinging. Then it's Baba help, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's part of me wants that. There's a great book called The Dog Stars. Have you ever read this?
No, I haven't. I've heard of it.
Oh my goodness. If they could ever get this license for a movie, it's so, so good. There's two guys, end of the world, and it turns out there's some other people, and that's, I'm not giving anything away, but very few number of people. North America has been hit by a flu, and it has affected North America, but not other, quote, races of people. And it's down to just these few people left. And one guy, his whole life, he has been begging for this to happen. Oh, he's in his element and he loves it. And the other guy never wanted this to occur, but it turns out he's incredibly smart. He's been an outdoorsman his whole life. He's, you know, he's just prepared to live in this way. And the book is a study on what this guy who ultimately he wanted this to happen on what happens when he finally gets what he wants. And the guy who did not want it, he never wanted to see this day. It's a study on him and it's two men and their approach to this. And it's really fascinating. So part of me, I want to be really careful because I don't want to collapse because I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I'm good to go. Yep. I've got food storage. I've got water. I've got access to wildlife. I've got fish. There's exactly one access point to our neighborhood. We've got a 270 degree view. When we're up north, down south, it's a 360 degree view. No one's getting to us without us seeing you. I would like to see people finally go back and say, what is true value? I know you and I have talked about this before, not the hardware store, but you know what true value is? Water, food, shelter, love, obviously God's word. But these guys, they think they're conjuring value. And I know this requires supposition, but do you think that they think they're conjuring value? Or do you think they're absolutely terrified technocrats who know the house is burning down? They know that if we knew the amount of theft and skullduggery they pulled on us, that they would be in, that that people would come with pitchforks and torches. Like, because that's my theory.
Oh.
They're terrified. They know they've burned the house down. They know they've raided the liquor cabinet. And if mom and dad find out, mom and dad are going to be upset.
Oh yeah. Like the stuff that I'm telling you, I mean, you know, this, it, and some of it is speculation on my part. Some of it is plain that you can just see.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, why do you need 30 swap lines? Like what there is no good reason. Right. There is no good reason. The reason is so you can control your currency. Right. And the reason, and you made a reference earlier about China knows what they're doing. Britain knows what they're doing. They do. But in a lot of ways, they're cheering it on as well.
Of course.
Because they're all in cahoots. Right. They are all pushing this whole green energy agenda. And they know that to push this new reset, to do it, they need to be, it's kind of like the Marshall Plan, man. I think what this is it's kind of like the Marshall Plan. We went in after World War II and we rebuilt Europe on the US dollar, right? Because everybody else's economy was smoked, right? Well, we're the only ones that can finance this green energy. So you look at a swap line, Todd, maybe a swap line is just financing for the green energy push around the world to the rest of the world. So their currency doesn't get smoked in the process, right? So they can invest in non-economically viable things, which is what all this green energy ESG push is, right? They can invest in that without blowing up their own currency.
Yeah.
And that's it. That is what is happening. And what's allowing that to happen is the fact that the dollar is the world reserve currency. If the dollar wasn't the world reserve currency, they wouldn't be able to do this because the world would start looking at the dollar. They would look at our balance sheet. They would look at our deficits and our dollar would be getting killed. Now, it wouldn't be fun in the short run, but the pitchforks would come out because that's how you'd see the inflation and the depreciation of the dollar would be the realization that they emptied the liquor cabinet, right? That would be the thing coming off. So I understand people, oh, the world reserve. And I'm like, guys, the fact that we're the world reserve currency is exactly what allows them to do all of these uneconomic activities and to control us and to continue to pinch us.
Right. So I guess I'd say this, if you ever wonder what it's like to live inside of a pyramid scheme. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When we're here,
I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you to think about this as we wrap this up. What is your favorite aspect? We're shifting gears. Your favorite aspect of people say the Christmas story, but it's not a story of the facts about Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. And how you celebrate that in your home and how you try to convey that favorite part of that to your kids. Zach Abraham's with us. There is, man, the beautiful relationship between this podcast family and the partners. I was talking to John, who is the dad of Allen and Allen Soaps, and a gentleman was having a login issue, and so something was going on at the website, and John took the time to call him, or the gentleman called him, I'm not sure which, but they had a fantastic conversation as they're going through and solving this issue. And I've heard just countless stories. A woman went to allensoaps.com/Todd and she stocked up on a bunch of stuff. And, you know, if you know the story, you know, but if you're new to the story, there's a young man named Alan. He's 12 now. He's on his seventh surgery. There's probably another, God forbid, but there might be another dozen in his life. And he is the happiest, most joyful, resilient, hardworking young man. He legitimately invents these soaps, many of the fragrances, not all of them, but he invents them from things that are meaningful to him. Now, this is why this is so potent, okay? Because Alan can't really speak because he's so high on the autism scale. It's very difficult for him to form sentences. So when something impresses itself upon him, like the cedarwood jasmine scent of his grandmother's keepsake box, you know, a chest that embedded itself. And that means so much to Alan that it comes out in this very manly smelling soap. And there's other more feminine scents. There's a non-scented soap, but that's so potent because he can't speak, but his soap is this way of speaking. So this woman loads up her cart. She gets all this stuff and she notices, she hits buy and it's allensoaps.com/Todd. It's on the way. She's like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I didn't even notice the shipping. Oh no, this is weird. This is wrong. And And she's like, oh my gosh, now I've got to figure out how to call them and the customer service. And oh no. And I want to buy this product because I love the company and all lives matter and Allen's lives matter. And she gets an email in about 10 minutes from the company. Hey, ma'am, there is this, the shipping should not be this much. We just noticed this. Can we have you go back in and make these changes? We'll do this on our side. And within 10 minutes, taken care of. No one does this. But this is the relationship that we're building in allensoaps.com/Todd. And I just want you to picture in a stocking of a little kid who has a special need, they get Allen Soaps and a picture of Allen and the story of Allen. He works there every day. He is the chief soap officer. Think of families with special needs kids, young kids, and they put these limits on them. Oh my gosh, my son or my daughter, they'll never do these things. No, Allen works every day. Loves to play Minecraft. He can be mischievous. He's a kid, but he works every day. Just think about how that can just really shine at Christmas time. It's allensoaps.com/Todd. You get 10% off everything there when you use my name, allensoaps.com/Todd. Use Todd as the promo code. All right. So Zach, in terms of the Christmas events and the birth of the Lord Jesus, in scripture, is there something that stands out to you that's your favorite part or the most meaningful part for you?
I feel that the thing that gets me, is the humility of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I feel myself getting a little bit, emotional talking about it. There's a Christmas song. I can't remember what it's called, but the chorus is something along the lines of quiet, soft, and slow, talking about how that's how Jesus came to the, you know, came to earth, right? Like a winter snow. And, oh man, I get choked up talking about it.
It's good. It's good.
The Son of God that came to do us all that kind of service, you know, being laid in a manger in a barn, you know, and then following it up later in his life, riding into town on a donkey.
Yeah.
It's that constant reminder of, don't get too caught up in the things of this world, be in it and not of it. Yeah. And keep your focus on what's important, because the package that you arrive in and the means in which you arrive in have absolutely no bearing on the importance of the job that you're trying to do.
That's so well said.
And quite often there's a negative correlation, right? And it's just and not just during Christmas, but especially during that time, it's the humility of it all.
Yeah.
The fact that our God had the humility to come experience what we did. And unlike so many other religions, he's not asking us to do anything he didn't do.
Yeah. He went first in everything.
In everything. And he's not even asking us to do as much.
Right.
You know, judge not lest ye be judged. He's not even asking us to be the judges.
Yeah.
Right. But the humility of it. And like I said, I get choked up talking about it, but just when I know the impact and the way God saved me and done so many amazing things in my life, and I catch myself getting uppity or arrogant at times or whatever, just running into that again and going, whoa,
yeah. Whoa,
slow your roll, dude, because, that's not the way that we need to be. And we've got, the best example ever. So that's my favorite, most impactful part of the season.
I love that it's preposterous. I love that you were going to fake a religion, right? Yeah. If you sought out to fake a religion, I love that it would be this preposterous thing of, wait, the first people to visit God were stinking shepherds. Because we think of shepherds romantically, right?
Oh yeah.
The good shepherd. And we think of, you know, we have the nativity scenes and I like our shepherds and our nativity scene, but they were the dregs.
Yeah.
Because they stunk, because they were out in the wilderness. And I mean, hey, funny thing, they didn't have baths out there and there was sheep and they're sleeping on the ground. And yet he shows himself to them because, you know, that was planned. And the preposterous nature of it just continues. Wait, his parents were who? Hold away. People thought that Mary was messing around, and the Lord came to a woman who lived then under the suspicion that she was an adulteress,
mm-hmm.
right? And that takes mm-hmm. then a special meaning later when the Lord, you know, people are about to stone this woman who'd been caught in adultery. And I love that, because that little baby, wait, hey, you know what? People thought this about my mom. Now, maybe, and he knew if the woman was guilty, because he was God. But a couple things about that is the Lord is sort of like, so where's the man? And then, and I don't know if you know about this tradition, but when the Lord Jesus kneels, you know, and he runs his finger through the sand, do you know what the tradition is about that, what he was doing?
I've heard this before, but refresh my memory.
He was the tradition, and this is tradition. I'm not saying it's scripture, it's tradition, is that the first time he kneeled, he started to write the names of the men surrounding the woman.
Yes.
And then, then he stands, and then he kneels again, and he says, so let he who is without sin cast the first stone, and he kneels. And then he starts writing the sins of the men. Because in order to cast a stone, you could not have been guilty of the same sin. And it was the oldest who left first. So I could see the old men going, oh, wait, he's just about to get to that thing that I had with this other lady, and I'm leaving. Right. And I think about the preposterousness of, so you had your son born to a woman who was going to be seen as an adulteress. And then Joseph, you know, they stopped writing about Joseph. And again, tradition is that Joseph died. So now it's a single mom. Right. And a carpenter, and it is just so utterly preposterous. And then from a marketing sense, I don't know about you. We have a mutual friend, John Curley in radio. John's a very successful, super successful auctioneer, entrepreneur. And he has a saying, what was it? Produce for the masses, eat with the rich. Produce for the rich, eat with the masses. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're producing products that only a few people can buy, it's very difficult to make a lot of money on that. But you produce something everybody can buy. The Lord Jesus went entirely against that. This little baby, right, born to people, a woman that people thought was an adulteress, in these low circumstances. First visit is from the stinking shepherds. Plus, he's from Nazareth. Nothing good came from Nazareth.
No.
And then when he is getting notoriety, you know, there were people coming and saying, hey, you know Jesus, right? We've got a thing, some guys, we get together, and you know, it's kind of the right people. They'll say that a lot in DC, by the way. You get invited to an event. So who's going to be there? Well, the right people.
Yeah.
You get them to come. And he said, no. It's like, no, what are you going to do? I'm going to go up in the hills. I'm going to go see the hill people. And to me, it all begins like you with that humility, but also this, you know what? I'm going to make it preposterous. And I dare you right, to really dig into it and find the fakery. So we spend some time going through Isaiah 43. We spend some time on the fulfilled prophecies. And then, of course, we read, I like to read all the gospel accounts of the birth of Christ. And that means so much to me.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't get to this. Next week, I want to spend some time on the, we've talked about this occasionally, but on the conflict that you face. It's not a conflict, but at Bulwark, there's times that you do investments, and sometimes like companies that you don't particularly like. I know that you have guardrails, and you said, look, I'm out. If they're not going to take audits, or they're selling, you know, they're a porn company, we're out. You've said that very clearly. But sometimes there's big companies that you have to trade with, because to do otherwise would be negligent for your clients.
I think this is a hot topic, and it's someone that we've had with a couple of our clients. And I think that there's a lot of, first of all, you know, I've heard people say, I don't want to own these companies. Yeah. And I go, okay, so you don't want to own those companies, or you don't want to own companies that do what they do? And they go, well, I don't want to own any companies that do what they do. And I go, okay, well, you just knocked out 90% of the S&P 500. Okay.
Yeah.
So like, people need to realize that, that we're first of all, when you invest in a company, you're not investing in a company, you're buying that share. When you buy a share of Google, none of that money goes to Google. Okay. So you're not supporting Google. You're buying that money, you're buying that share from somebody else. And if what we have to, you know, as long as something isn't illegal, Google's business is not illegal. Do I like the things that their officers invest in? Do I like the funds that their officers, you know, one of my employees made a really good point. He goes, okay, so you don't want to buy those companies. How do you feel about US government bonds? And he goes, so you don't want to buy that company because they donated to Planned Parenthood. You know who donates the most money to Planned Parenthood? The U.S. government.
Yeah.
Right. So unfortunately, Would I like to only invest in companies where I philosophically believe in them? Absolutely. But unfortunately, I'm a fiduciary of other people's money. And if we build them a portfolio that corresponds with every one of their values but destroys their retirement 5 years into it, we've done them no service.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I think you just explained it. But I think it'd be interesting to talk to the degree about like big companies like BlackRock that it's very difficult to avoid that being a fiduciary. and everybody knows how much I loathe what Fink, I always end up calling him Ken. He should change his name for me. I'll write him a letter. What Larry Fink does, because there's so much evil done through him. But that was
no, I agree. And we own nothing of Black. That's an easy one to buy stuff. We don't own anything of them, with them, of them, by them, for them, because of those reasons.
All right. So we'll talk next week about this and talk about it in detail. And thank you so much for the time. It's always a pleasure with you. And go with God's good grace. And just embrace your family, man. Go share those tears with them.
I'm going to.
All right.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, thank you. This is the Todd Herman Show. And thank you guys, too. We have some affiliate announcements coming up for the National Radio Show. I did one this week. The place I started my talk radio career is going to be an affiliate. I'm so excited. Some others coming. So that continues to grow, courtesy of God and of you. This is the Todd Herman Show. Please go be well, be strong, be kind, and hey, give some thought. So what is the most meaningful portion of the Christmas event that you think you should share? What's that one thing that could maybe change a heart to look at Christmas as the way it should be seen, which is the birth of the Lord, the Messiah, our Savior, the Lord Jesus?